TV.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for your comments. Kelly and I and Maria, we read the comments yesterday's show, and you just warmed our hearts all over again. Our hearts were warm when we made the show. It was really fun. And I know what you want. You want more. You want to hear it from Kelly again, of course. I do too. But we spoil you. We do it more than once every 33 years. So, I mean, you know. But what a pleasure to have Kelly as a sister and Maria as a wife. I said I was going to interview Maria sometime, and I'm going to do that. That'll be a special treat. In fact, I should interview them both at the same time. Kelly over here, Maria over there, me in the middle. Oh my God, that might be dangerous. They might team up on me, and it won't be my show anymore at that point. We'll have to rename it. We'll have to name it KMTV, Kelly and Maria. Yeah, they would take over the show completely. Anyway, I'm Martin Zender, and thanks for being here. As always, you're a loyal audience. I knew you would love that video yesterday. I just knew it. I told Kelly, I said, they are going to absolutely love this, and you definitely did. I'm just going to speak briefly on the body of Christ. As you know, we have a new video out from Clyde Pilkington called Why I'm Not a Member of the Body of Christ. Part one of three videos. Why I'm Not a Member of the Body of Christ. I said to myself when I saw the title, I said, gee, Clyde, you have to be so obvious about it. But there's some serious flaws in the presentation, and there's some revealing in the first 5 minutes. There's such a revelation that I've been telling you for a long time, and it's practically self-admitted. I'm not, you think I'm picking on him, but I mean, he promised he's going to find new things in the Bible, and now the phrase body of Christ has been called into question. This last video called into question the word grace. Isn't it a nice word? We come to rely on grace. We love the word, we love to say it. And now he changed it to joy. Remember, of course. So he's promised us, and he's delivering, that he's going to change everything, look for new revelations. What it is a breaking down of the foundations. And it's terrible and it's awful, and I'll be getting into detail in it in the near future as I listen to these videos again and again in order to prepare a defense of the truth. It just gives us more, it helps us to dwell more into the truth. That's all it does. It gives us more insight into the body of Christ. Starting now, more insight into the body of Christ. Of course, it's a freaking figure of speech when it refers to people. Christ's body, there was a literal body of Christ. When he was on earth, he had arms and legs, and I suppose he has a body now. It just might not look like the body he had when he was on earth. We're going to have spiritual bodies. We're going to have new bodies. The human body is put forth in 1 Corinthians 12 as an analogous to the body of Christ. The human body is a perfect analogy of the body of Christ. And so the argument shouldn't be, God, is this a literal or figurative? Of course it's figurative, but what is it telling us? It's telling us of a great truth that we are so close to Christ, that we are so much a part of him, that we are so inseparable from him, that our relationship to him is compared to a human body where each part is a member of the whole and has each a different role. So it's a beautiful analogy. Whenever anyone was baptized, they were baptized into there were some believers who were baptized into John. And then Jesus came, and they were baptized into Jesus. What was this? What did this mean? Why were people baptized into John and then baptized into Jesus? Baptism is a symbolism. It's symbolic of unity. Baptism was totally, the water didn't change anything. The water didn't make you clean spiritually. Water was water. That's why it always amuses me, it really befuddles me and saddens me when people go to the Jordan River, Christians go to the Jordan River to get baptized. I mean, it's just as stupid to go into a baptismal tank at a church. It's just stupid. Or to go into a lake in your backyard. But some people take it to the nth degree and they go to Jerusalem and they want to get baptized in the Jordan River, as if there's some magical principle. It's like going to the Ganges River in India. People think it's some magical spiritual river, and people soak in the Ganges. And while, you know, the shit floats by on the surface of the Ganges River, and the Jordan River, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's symbolic, and people don't realize that. So there shouldn't even be an argument. Was it literal? The body of Christ figurative? Literal? Of course it's figurative. But it, like baptism, it typifies a unity that we're a part of Christ. And just as he says in 2 Timothy 2:12-13, you know, he can't disown himself. What if we disown him? He can't disown himself. Himself, he can't disown himself. What does that speak to you of? You know where I'm talking, 2 Timothy 2:12-13, can't disown himself. We disown him, he is remaining faithful. Why? He cannot disown himself. That's how close we are to him. And the figure is so perfect. God gave Paul the figure of speech of the human body. So being a member of the body of Christ doesn't mean you're a finger and you're a nose and you're an eye, even though Paul presents these things to hopefully intelligent people who will know how to analyze and interpret figures of speech. But not everybody knows how to do that. Not everybody knows how to do that. But to me, it's just such a beautiful picture of the unity that we have with Christ. And again, it comes down to that phrase, he cannot disown himself. I just love that. That just hit me as a perfect phrase that fits the analogy used, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. What's he going to do? Cut his head off? What's he going to do? Cut his arm off? Cut his leg off? No. And every member of the body is integral to the whole. So, and then to have that questioned now by the man who seems intent on questioning everything. I say this because people have brought this video up to me. People have said, Martin, did you see the latest? It's like, what now? What now? Clyde Pilkington. Why I'm not a member of the body of Christ. Okay. Maybe he's not. I don't know. I'll let you know. I'm going to study it. I've already done a quick purview of the first video. And just that gave me some obvious points. And I guess I should go ahead and bring up one point. I've already brought up one. I guess I'll bring up two. This is going to be a short video. I'm extremely tired. I had a doctor's appointment today, and it was so stressful. It was a really stressful appointment, but I wasn't going to bring it up, except that I want to say that it was so wonderful having Kelly and Maria both with me there, giving me moral support. I tell you what, you can't do any better than I have it, really. I complain. I guess I'm not complaining. I'm venting to the body of Christ. Call it complaint. Okay, I'll just say I complain a lot about situations, but it's not our imagination that we're going through these trials, for sure, and everybody's going through trials, and I'm gravitating now toward videos on YouTube, like these people in these incredibly strange, terrible situations, you know, and I guess misery loves company. It's awful, but I'm graduating to these videos of these people who have overcome immense difficulties, it's comforting on one hand to think that you see the strength in the human, and you know it all comes from God. But on the other hand, it's discomforting to know that, shit, God's the one bringing it on everyone. God's doing this. We watched a video last night of a guy who survived 76 days on a raft alone in the Pacific Ocean, or the Atlantic Ocean. And the stuff this guy went through was just insane, and it's a wonder he lived. You can watch it. I'll put a link down here to it, or if I forget, just go to Adrift, I Shouldn't Be Alive. That's the name of the series. I Shouldn't Be Alive. And the name of it is 76 Days Adrift in the Atlantic Ocean. I read about this years and years ago in the Reader's Digest. They did a book, condensation of it. And then I read the book that the condensation was based on. And it's just a great survival story. So we're all surviving. We're a survival story, each of us individually. But here's the point that I want to make. I got distracted there for a little bit, but being a part, maybe I shouldn't preempt myself, because I'm going to do a whole show on this, because it hit me in the first 5 minutes of Clyde's video. I almost don't want to say this now, because it really unveiled the motive of why anyone would be doing these things to the scriptures that Clyde has been doing. He really outed himself in the first 5 minutes. Let me just ask you, if you've watched the video, did you spot it? You know, it is a good thing to belong. And sometimes we feel that we want to be mavericks. We want to be individuals. We want to do our own thing. We want to stand out. And it sometimes feels like a little that we're diminished somehow if we're a part of a great organization. We somehow feel like I'm just a part of a whole. And some people can't stand that. Some people want to stand out no matter what, and they don't want to be associated with any title, any common collection of beliefs, because they feel diminished. Again, they feel like, oh, I believe exactly like that guy does, or I believe exactly like she does. Oh my God, I see a bunch of people here and we all believe the same thing. As if that's bad. As if believing in the same thing is bad. As if having a common denominator, like the body of Christ, to describe a group of people who adhere to a certain body of language. I mean, it's just to a certain body of truth, I should say, to a certain group, certain collection of teachings. To think that would be bad, it's a slap in the face to what is truly an organization. And I know there's rebelliousness, and we all have some rebel in us. And we don't want to be a part of the mainstream anything. Right, we don't want to, like when I was at the doctor's at this hospital, it was just so institutionalized. And when I went to Catholic school, of course, it was institutionalized. The Catholic Church was institutionalized. And we all have the rebel in us, or we wouldn't be here. God implanted a rebelliousness in us, or you wouldn't be watching me right now. And I wouldn't be making this show right now, or I've been doing this for 33 years. But that rebelliousness can go too far when you don't even want to recognize the unity of a body of people who are connected spiritually and really as intimately as the human body is to Christ. Like, how uninstitutionalized do you want to be? You want to be out there on a mountaintop alone? You want to be out in the field proclaiming? You want to be a John the Baptist, crazy guy out in the wilderness with long hair eating locusts? Or do you want to be a member of a nice, comfortable group of people called the body of Christ? Not exactly comfortable, but we all have a unity of teaching, and we all believe some of the same things. And some people just don't want to believe the same things as everybody else. They don't want to believe like everybody else, because that takes their individuality away, according to some people. They think their individuality relies on not believing the same thing as everybody else. But that is just absurd. It's selfish. It's somebody who's over rebellious. And in this, I'm going to get back to the series I started about being comfortable with who you are. And Paul talks about overweening above what your disposition must be in Romans chapter 12. I was going to do that today, but I started looking over my notes. I said, no, I have to talk about this other thing. It's overstriving, overdoing it. And yes, the scripture says correctly cut or rightly divide the word of truth. Correctly cut the word of truth. Yes, you cut it, and you have to be very delicate about this. Correctly cut the word of truth. So we know that the Christian church is totally wrong. They say, well, it just means you cut between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's so not it. There's more to it than that. What, Martin? What's more than that? We have to cut Paul from the rest of scripture. The rest of scripture is for Israel. Paul writes to the nations. Boom. That's it. You're done. You've correctly cut the word of truth. But then there are those who must stand out. They must do more. They must overween above what their disposition must be. I'll explain that verse later next week in detail. But they have to overcut. They have to overdo everything. Because it's not enough just to cut where everybody else. I'm looking around at all the body of Christ and all 2,000 of us, or however many members of the body of Christ there are on the earth, we all the Paul people say the same thing. They cut at Paul, and they cut Paul from the rest of the scriptures. But that's such an important cut, and it's such a real cut, and it's such a true cut, and that's the cut that 8 billion Christians have never made. But for some people, that's not enough, because they can't. I don't want to be a part of a group of 2,000 people. I'm going to cut again. I'm going to cut Paul from Paul. I'm going to cut Paul from himself. I'm going to keep cutting. The rest of you people that are in the group, that are in the body of Christ, oh my God, such a common term, the body of Christ. You want to be in the body of Christ? Every time I go to a funeral, I hear that term, body of Christ, body of Christ. God, So that makes it bad? That the people have it wrong? That if you hear it, that phrase from a member of the Christian religion, that means it's wrong? What if you hear the phrase, the word grace from a member of the Christian religion, and they believe in eternal torment? Maybe that's why Mr. Pilkington threw grace out, because he heard it too much from Christians. Christians say grace all the time. We got to cut it out. We're going to take that out of our vocabulary. No more grace. We're going to change it to joy. So stupid. So it's really just a disease of overweening individualism. Like, I gotta be different. Gotta keep cutting. Now we're cutting Paul, and it got at one point the cutters wasn't enough to cut Paul from the rest of Scripture. That's where you're supposed to stop. That's a sane cut. And it's more than the 8 billion Christians are doing, right? They cut between Old Testament and New Testament. They have no idea that Paul should be cut from Israel teaching. These guys, we're going to cut Paul's prison epistles from the rest of his epistles. Why? Because there's some shit in 1 Corinthians we don't like. There's some shit in 1 Thessalonians we don't like. We want to relegate these letters to an earlier iteration of the body of Christ, to a dinosauric installment. And we're better. We read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy. We're special. We cut. We made another cut. You look around at a group that's smaller than a group of a few thousand people, and you even want to stand out from them? You want to stand out from them? It's not good enough to stand out from Christianity. No, you have to stand out from the people in your intimate circle. It's not intimate enough. No. You want to be exclusive. So exclusive that only you are in on the secret. You have to keep cutting. And then Clyde cut again. Now he cut. He says only two of Paul's prison epistles are for us. I'm waiting for the day when he reduces Paul's message to us to two paragraphs in Ephesians chapter 1. That'll be it. Cut, just to be individual. Gotta get rid of grace. Gotta get rid of the body of Christ. Gotta get rid of all these familiar phrases, because familiar, comforting phrases don't let us stand out as individuals. That's sickening. It makes me sick. It's a disease that has infected this particular man. And I thank God it's not spreading as much as it does. But whenever a new infection comes out, you know, starts growing and spreading, I gotta get the Lysol out. Oh, take care of this. That kills the germs on contact. Kills the germs on contact. What kills the germs of Clyde's apostasy on contact? The truth. That's what we're into here. The truth.